Reading this morning is taken from 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 11 to 22, and you'll find it on page 441 on the Bibles in front of you on the chairs. So it's 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 11 to 22. The Lord appears to Solomon. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne, as I covenanted with David your father when I said, 'You shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel.' But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and will reject this temple, which I have consecrated for my name. I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and say, 'Why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple?' People will answer, 'Because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshipping and serving them. That is why he brought all this disaster on them.'" Amen.
Lord, meet with us here. Speak to our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our bodies. Speak your truth. Speak your well-being. Speak your healing and wholeness. Speak the challenge we need to hear. Speak the promise that will reassure us. Speak the warning that we don't want. Speak to us of Jesus. And bring it home to us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. If my people which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, shall humble themselves and pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall seek thy face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then I will hear from heaven. Then I will hear and will forgive their sin. I first heard those words. I think it was the first time I was ever aware that those words were in the Bible. In 1975, I heard a presentation of something called If My People. And for weeks now, that melody has just been going round and round in my mind. And I knew that it was what I needed to be speaking about today. I'm aware that... Well, don't get me wrong, but this is the last proper service I've got with you before I go on sabbatical, because next week's a family service and Easter will be an Easter family celebration, and then I'm off. And I know that one or two people have said, well, what are they doing, all this vision business stuff, while he's off, out of the way? What are they going to get up to? Well, I hope you get up to quite a lot. And I hope that God will speak to you during that time, and the fact that I am out of the way will make it easier for that blue sky thinking that there needs to be. I said that to the church members meeting the other week, and I don't mind repeating it again now. This all has my full backing. It's important. And I just put you in the hands of God at this point, because that's where your future lies, not in my hands. Mine just aren't big enough. Initially, I called this sermon, I was going to call it Embrace the Father and talk about the prodigal son. And we may well get there yet, but I'm not sure how. But I sort of gave it another title, really, last night. If my people embrace me. And yesterday afternoon at our rededication service, Roy Searle spoke to us eloquently of what it means for the people of God to embrace him in this day and age and serve him. He gave the Member of Parliament, Sir Alan Campbell, was sat on that chair down there, and he spoke right into the confusion and frustration and peril that our nation is in at the present time. And I just sat there thinking and humming to myself, if my people, my people. In fact, I went up to the attic, I found the record I bought in 1975. This, young people, is a long-playing record. Not one of these modern long-playing records, but one when there used to be only long-playing records and little singles. And inside that, forgetting why I actually brought that with me this morning, but inside that there is an insert which has all the words of the songs printed in microscopically small print. And then on the other side it says, this is our prayer, an intercession, written in 1973. And I just felt this morning I should go through that prayer with you and just say one or two things about it on the way. I've shot ahead There we go. And I want to reflect on it little by little as we go through this morning. The prayer begins, remember, 1973, not 2019. Sovereign Lord, we thank you for our nation and for its godly heritage. So long as we have walked in your ways, you have faithfully poured out your bounties upon us. So long as we have acknowledged and served you, you have kept us a free people. You have kept us a free people. And at the moment, we know that there's a big red line dividing us from Europe. Whether it will be permanent or whether it will be blown away by the tide of events, we do not know. But it leaves us in a situation for which the signposts look something like this: lost, confused, unsure, unclear, perplexed, disorientated, bewildered, is how many in our nation feel at the present time. In 2017, the best film in 2017, as Colin Hall will happily tell you, was the film Dunkirk. It was a great film, a great analysis of the military operation, military and civilian operation, that saved over 300,000 troops from the beaches at Dunkirk. When the operation began, it was feared that they wouldn't get 100,000 away. But the weather changed. On the main body of Europe, it was awful weather. It threw it down with rain. It blew tremendous gales. And the Luftwaffe couldn't take off. Also, a little while before, Hitler, for some reason, had stopped his forces moving any further towards the coast of France, and the order stayed in place. So that on the 30th of May, which from this side of the Channel was beautiful weather all the way over to Dunkirk, the hundreds and hundreds of little boats and big boats were able to go and pick those men off the beaches and bring them home. It's quite a story. When we think what might have happened to all those men, and they were pretty well all men in those days, were gathered there. The Newcastle Journal, talking about it afterwards, said, "Last scenes of Dunkirk miracle." That was afterwards, after the clearing up had happened. And that word miracle was a word that was used. But it wasn't a mistake, and it wasn't an assumption by Christian people. Aware that all these British forces had got nowhere to go but the beaches of northern France, King George VI called the nation to prayer. He said, "Why aren't we praying?" And over several days, and over the Monday was when Dunkirk happened, when the operation happened, but over that weekend, there were queues of thousands and thousands of people got up to the doors of the churches and the cathedrals of this nation. There are photos of them. You can look them up on the internet. Thousands of people turned out and prayed that God would save the nation. Some of them, many of them at that time, were churchgoers. There were many more churchgoers in the nation than not. But many of them were not necessarily churchgoers, but perhaps they had sons, uncles, fathers who were on those beaches in northern France. Save our nation. And when he came to give his Empire Day address a little later in the year, King George was able to refer to the miracle of Dunkirk. Do I need to join the dots for you? How are we praying for our nation just now? When the division is not simply about economics, but it is about racism, intolerance, refusing to accept another person's point of view, refusing to move from one's own position to meet another person, to find a place of meeting where foundations can be laid and buildings built. I was just caught a little snippet on the radio this morning, and somebody was saying, where is Mo Molum when you need her? A woman who at the time of the Good Friday Agreement, she was able to go into a room, kick her shoes off, take her wig off and put it on the corner of the chair, and then say, right, let's get down to business. What on earth is wrong with you? Whether that was to the IRA or to the Democratic Unionist Party, the word was said. How might we pray? The prayer from If My People goes on, but in our prosperity we have forgotten that all we are and have we owe to your love and grace. Many in our land have forgotten the God who made them. Many deny even the basic concept of law. Selfishness and greed, distrust and thanklessness, hatred and indifference to suffering abound. Immorality, profanity, and blasphemy are on every hand. But we identify with this people, O Lord. You have placed us among them. It is partly because of our failures that our nation and society are as we see them now. Had our salt not lost its savour, corruption would have been restrained. Had we all continued to beget life in the Spirit, we would not be the minority we are in our society. Because our light has shone but dimly, darkness has encroached on our nation. Because of our silence, the clamour of iniquity has grown loud in our land. Because of our weakness, violence has increased on our streets. This is 1973, not 2019. Because of our division, the united forces of our enemy have met little resistance and have taken men and women captive at their will. That's talking about our spiritual enemy. Pardon us, O Lord, and heal our divisions. The grievous wounds that we have inflicted upon the body of Christ. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Forgive us where we have ignored or disfellowshipped each other because of doctrinal, social, racial, or cultural difference. We have presented an ugly, fragmented picture of Christ to the world by our jealousies and pettiness, one to another. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Unite your church in love, O Lord, that the world may believe. We confess with shame our powerlessness. We have often trusted in our own programs and resources and been led by human traditions rather than by the Spirit of God. There was a night when Solomon went in to the temple. And in the temple, as David had done before him, and as Moses and Isaiah and just a handful of others before him, he encountered the living God. He saw the face of God and lived. The people had been worshipping at the temple, great sacrifices had been offered, but in that moment, Solomon was one-to-one with God. And God said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive them their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And then he goes on to say, but if not, you'll see this temple and this city destroyed. Now, why is that important just here? What we need to understand is when Chronicles was written. Chronicles was written after the 70 years that the people of Jerusalem and Israel had been exiled in Babylon. This was looking back. Kings, the books of Kings, which cover much the same ground, are much more contemporary to the events. Chronicles were written after the events by the people we call the Deuteronomists, but don't worry about that. And what they're writing here, what God is saying to them, is what has actually already happened. Because there had come a day when Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had come to Jerusalem. And he'd brought out the king. And he said to the king, I am taking you as a prisoner into Babylon. And just so you remember this moment, he then brought out all the sons of the king and had them executed in front of the king. And then he put out the king's eyes. So the last thing the king would ever remember was the death of his sons. The last thing he would smell would be the smell of Jerusalem burning. Off he was taken, and so were many, many, many others. And so when in Chronicles it talks about, because they have forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshipping and serving them, that is why he brought all this disaster on them. That was history. They were closer, very possibly, to that event having happened at the hand of Nebuchadnezzar than we are in years from Dunkirk. Do the math. But what are we going to do? Well, I want you to just look at a short video. I was trying to show the 2019 version. I just couldn't find it to download. This is the 2018 version, but I'd just like you to watch this.
Prayer rests on the conviction that the strongest power in the world is unseen. Thy kingdom come is built on this conviction given to us by Jesus. Often when we pray, we don't see immediate results, but we know we should trust and believe that God hears our prayers. The testimony of many people is that God has used the prayers and witness of others to bring the reality of the good news to their lives. I'd like to give you an example and tell you about a friend of mine, Brian. As he sat, beginning his fourth time in prison at the age of 20, he felt life couldn't get any worse.
When I was 18, through a whole set of rather unfortunate circumstances, I ended up getting incredibly involved with drugs. And then I became homeless. And off the back of that, I ended up in prison. All that time I was in prison, people were praying for me. And to my amazement, my solicitor was a Christian. My probation officer was a Christian. My cellmate was exploring faith and was a Christian. It was almost like wherever I went, I couldn't get away from God. In fact, once my probation officer threw a Bible at me and said, "You should read this, Brian." After being arrested for the fourth time, I ended up in a probation hostel. And in that probation hostel, sitting on my bed, I opened up the Bible, and the Bible spoke to me so powerfully about the fact that Jesus saves. And at that moment, on my own, in that probation hostel, I gave my life to Jesus, and my life was radically transformed.
Brian's life is evidence of the years of prayer, the gentle nudges from friends, and even the not-so-gentle probation officer who threw a Bible at him. We all have people in our lives who don't know about Jesus and the difference he longs to bring to them.
We get this wonderful opportunity to be involved in people's secret history, the history that is unseen, of people who don't give up, who persevere. In a world where the culture is instant, we need to be the people who don't give up in praying, because when we pray, God is at work.
Every invite to church, every gentle conversation about God, every prayer for a friend in God's hand contributes to someone's secret history. That is why your prayers matter. They really matter. Never underestimate the power and influence that your prayers have on the world. In prayer, God invites us to be his partners in the transformation of the world through transformed lives. So join us for Thy Kingdom Come 2018.
Yes, so not quite 2018, but the 30th of May to the 9th of June 2019. Thy Kingdom Come is going to be happening all over the place, in all sorts of different churches. I know there are various prayer efforts planned for here before and after the vision-seeking exercise and so on, but everybody can be a part of this global wave of prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. You can enroll as a family, you can enroll as an individual, we can enroll as a church. There's a terrific website. Just go to Thy Kingdom Come on Google. You should be able to remember Thy Kingdom Come. It's a bit of the Lord's Prayer, so if you remember, it's three words from the Lord's Prayer. Start with Our Father Who, and eventually you'll get to the right three, and it will... It's a bit like how I do it. Anyway, but there are all sorts of helps there, wherever you're coming from. The trouble is with 2 Chronicles is that it's a very Old Testament passage. It doesn't talk about revival. It's very Old Covenant. It's very much about keeping the law. So how are we to make anything of it that can help us? Well, Let's just go back to that passage that we were looking at. If my people... Now, in Chronicles and in Solomon's context, God's people was the nation of Israel, quite clearly. That was who he was talking about, the worshipping, believing population of Israel. What does that mean for us, post-Christian people? Well, Paul tells us everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's who my people is in our day and age. Those who have believed on the name of the Lord and have been saved. We understand the name to be Jesus. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll be remembering the events that took Jesus to the cross, where he died. He died for our sin. We understand that we only have forgiveness of sin because Jesus died. So we need to look at these words and we need to see them through the lens of Christ and what Christ has done. If my people, who are called by my name, if we, will humble themselves and pray. Note, it doesn't say all the sinners in society, all the nasty people in society, all the criminals in society, all the people who aren't us. If they will humble themselves and turn around and pray, that's not what it says. It says, God is saying, if my people... If you, Paul Newman, if you, Whitley Bay Baptist Church, if you, Church in Whitley Bay, if you, Church in the Nation, will do this. Then I will hear. And then I will heal. The prayer from If My People continues. Few of us have sought first the kingdom. Where we have confined religion to a few hours a week instead of making it the motivating force of our lives. Where we've become idolaters by putting other things before you. Forgive us. Forgive us, O Lord, where we have compromised our high and holy calling to be friends of the world. There's a difference between being friends of the world and servants of the world. We have been silent in the face of encroaching corruption. We have tolerated evil. We have been afraid of offending the world rather than keeping the world from offending our little ones. As a result, there is pornography on our streets, and this was before the internet, of course. As a result, there is pornography on our streets and heresy in our schoolrooms. We have tolerated impurity in our churches rather than disciplining and purging it out according to the command of Scripture. It is time for judgment to begin at the house of God, but we would judge ourselves so that we shall not be judged. Therefore, O Lord, hear our confession and pardon our iniquity. Restore to your church all that we have lost through our sin. Turn away your wrath from our land. Stem the tide of evil and stay your hand of judgment. Wake believers to a new ministry of prayer and fasting for our nation with authority and confidence and power. Create in us a hunger for your word that we may all grow to maturity. May there come in the church a putting away of all that offends you and a mighty crying out for deliverance. We cry for righteousness to reign, for holiness to preserve our nation. Save and guide the leaders of our government. Where corruption exists, bring it to light and purge it out. Wisdom and might are yours, O Lord. You rule in the kingdom of women and men and give government to whom you will. Pull down the ungodly and raise up leaders who will be led by the Spirit of God. Establish truth in our educational systems, integrity in our news media, righteous judgment in our courts, and equal justice and opportunity for every person in our society. Heal our homes and cement family relationships. Use us, O Lord, as instruments of healing and revival. May there be a rise of Holy Spirit anointing upon the witness of your people. Grant unto your children boldness to proclaim your life-giving word, to minister life to the spiritually dead around us. We lift up the name of Jesus. May it move in power throughout the land. Let your face shine with peace and joy upon our land. For your own glory, Lord. We're going to listen now to the proper version of If My People. Don't just listen to it. What is God saying to you? Not to the person sitting next to you, not to the person sitting in front of you, not to the person sitting behind you. What is God saying to you, to me? Out of this prayer from If My People, out of this call. You see, it's not just the story of the prodigal son, when it boils down to it, is a wayward son who returns to his father. And the father runs out on the road to meet him as he sees him coming from far away. That's the God to whom we're turning. That's the God to whom we're coming. But much though the father longed for that day to come when the son would return home, the son had to come to an end of himself among the pigs of a foreign land where he had to eat their food to survive. He had to turn. Let's listen to this. I'm skipping a few slides ahead so that you can see the words.
In the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 14, God made a promise to Israel, and the Holy Spirit is renewing that promise today in the hearts of God's people in many nations. We've come to begin fulfilling God's conditions for that promise of a great awakening and healing in our land.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray. If my people, which
God says, if my people, which are called by my name, will pray. Now, he doesn't expect the ungodly to pray, but he does hold his people responsible. Who are God's people? You are. All of you who've received Jesus by faith as your Savior and your Lord. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, to as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God.
Let's still ourselves. Holy Spirit, move upon us now. You call us clearly in those words, if my people. Show us where we need to turn. Show us where we need to repent. Show us our need of forgiveness. Indeed, we give you permission as we come to the events of Holy Week, of Palm Sunday, next Sunday, and then through to Good Friday and Easter Day. Speak to us of what Jesus did that we and the world might be made whole in you. To make a prayer based around these words of If My People, that song. And if you feel that you would like to join in a prayer of commitment to identify with his people, I invite you to stand now if you're able. Lord, we are your people. You love us for some reason. Jesus gave himself for us. We are called by his name. So, Lord, humble us by your Holy Spirit and teach us to pray. May we be a people who seek your face rather than just your hand, seeking your honour rather than just what we might get from you. And cause us to turn from our wicked ways. Lord, is there something in us, something in our polite British way that balks at the word wicked? But that's what sin is. Sin is opposing that which would give you glory. Sin is opposing your will. And we have each done that one way or another. So help us to come to you honestly, openly, humbly. But we come with the reassurance ringing in our ears that you will hear from heaven. You will hear from heaven and you will forgive. You will forgive our sin. But our prayer would be not just that you would forgive our sin, but just as Moses pleaded for the people who had made a golden calf and you would have destroyed, Lord, Moses pleaded with you to save them, to save your nation. And so we would plead for our nation and make us a people who continue to plead for your nation, this nation, and those other nations to which members of this congregation belong. Make each a remembrance of your glory, a pointer to your kingdom, a place of wonder and miracle. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we ask it. Amen. So, Father, we bring our worship to you, we commit it to you, and we pray now your blessing on us as we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If there's anybody who would like to talk or further prayer, then we have some seats over here in the corner so that you can be a bit more private while others are having tea and coffee. Just come and we will come and find you. Amen.